for this morning. We are heading back to our sermon series. We have that slide. Yes, chords in the key of life of the book of Psalms. I have a few different thoughts to share here this morning. But I want to begin just by reading the first five verses of Psalm 61. So if you have a Bible with you, we're going to look at Psalm 61. You feel free to turn there. They'll also be up on the wall as well. We'll look at a few other scripture passages as well. Now, Psalm 61 is a psalm of David, and it says here, for the director of music with stringed instruments. And, you know, keyboards worked great just as well this morning too. And it's a psalm of David. Psalm 61, verse 1, as it says up here, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. Now, you know, some people these days think the earth is flat, you know, and somehow you can reach the literal end of it. That's not what he means. But sometimes you feel like God is so far away. It's like, oh, I'm on the other side of the world. But he's not far away from any of us. And so David realized that too. I'm going to call to you. I'm going to call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. He says, I long to dwell in your tent forever. We sang about that. Better's one day in God's courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I want to take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Those who reverence your name. Okay, a spoiler alert here. I usually try to leave you all in suspense. What is he meaning by all of this blabbing that he's doing? What is his actual point? So I'm going to tell you the one thing that I want everybody to take away from this morning's message. Yeah, I usually make you wait till the end, but don't miss what is said in verses 2 and 3. And actually, let's put them back up, Jeremy. Yeah, from the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then he says this, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. The message for us is this. When our hearts grow faint, and how often it does. But when it does, you know as well as I have, we have all developed some kind of coping skills in our life, right? Something to make us feel better, something to help us forget some pain maybe. And those coping skills may have worked, maybe really well when we first relied on them. Some are not so bad, but some are harmful. You know, many people turn to drugs or alcohol, pornography, overeating. But, well, it's like the person who has to rely on even wilder and bigger roller coasters to get the same kick, for instance, right? Canada's Wonderland, sure, they had Leviathan, but now we need Behemoth. Both Bible words, by the way. Maybe we'll have to go to Six Flags in Darien Lake to find even a bigger one because I just don't get the same thrill anymore out of this. So my prayer for, okay, and it's not just for you, it's for me too. May we find the courage and the strength to avoid, you know, to turn away from, to let go maybe of some of these crutches that we so easily rely on, things that we can be downright addicted to. We learned this one time from God's word to Jeremiah. Do you remember this verse? It's Jeremiah 2:13. He says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water. He's the source of our living water. And then they've gone and dug their own cisterns, broken wells. And these wells really can't hold water. Now, none of this is easy. Addictions are very strong. They become strongholds, to use a biblical expression. And, you know, the Bible is an honest book. It confirms, it admits, oh, there are pleasures in sin, sure, for a season. And like anything, coping skills may work for a bit, but when they just become a dry, broken well that we try to find some refreshment from, but they no longer give us any refreshment, only more dead ends, and then, to use another biblical expression, they just keep us more in bondage. We all know this. I was looking in a commentary I have at home. A man named William MacDonald, he was a Bible teacher from California. A number of years back, he says, especially in times of danger, when the situation seemed utterly hopeless, David had learned to cast his burden on the Lord and leave it there. He learned first to run to God. And as he says here in Psalm 61, he's once again in another one of his many cliffhanging moments. I mean, he was on the run from people that wanted to kill him. And you know, how many times have we all asked this question? Why does God continue to insist that we go through these kinds of difficult things in this life? I mean, why doesn't he just fix everything? He's God, isn't he? Well, the short answer, oh, it is short, but don't think that because it's short that it's trite. No, not at all. It comes for us from those great words that Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Corinth all those years ago. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, okay? One of the reasons why we go through what we go through. And he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We're not just here for ourselves. Sean and Jackie, you mentioned that last Sunday during the communion service. We live this Christian life in a community. We're here to help. Sang that song, let me be your servant. I'll hold the Christ light for you. Let me be as Christ to you. We're here to live this Christian life. We live it in community. We're here to help bring comfort to other people. We're here to help other people carry their burdens. Boy, think of what a difference it's going to make when those kids get to pick stuff and put it in a backpack. Isn't that thrilling? Thanks for doing that, Millie. And anybody else that wants to help out, and you can still send money to help support that. So even when we are tempted to abandon, you know, one of the first things we often abandon when life gets tough, oh, we stop reading the Bible. We abandon our prayer life. Right? When we're tempted to stay away from coming to church. Oh, I don't want to be with those people. I'm not in the best shape right now. Or oh, I get it. There are sometimes you can't be here. I get it. You need a break. But don't think for a moment that all the good people are in here and so you can't come because you're not good. Trust me. But, well, the good people are here. What am I saying? Well, you know as well as I do, right? No, none of us are good. We're not good enough when it comes to God. When we stop finding our water, when we stop quenching our thirst in being close to God as our source, well, then we're not just starving ourselves, but we're also shortchanging other people. People who need what we have found. You know, some people are even counting on you and me to let them see that all this stuff is actually true. Okay, yeah, so-and-so, they're having a hard time in their life, but they seem to have hope. Oh, I send Bible verses to some friends of mine. I sent out a particular Bible verse. I got back a reply from one person that said, yes, all the promises of God are mine. I got another reply that said, they're nice sounding words, but I'm going through so much hardship. What's the difference? Because this other person who said, all the promises are mine, it's not like he's not going through hard stuff too. There's a difference, and I guess we talked about it. Oh, maybe we even mentioned it at the prayer meeting, right? We either become bitter or better. better or bitter. And so many people, okay, there are so many words of comfort and hope that can be found, well, in places like this book of Psalms, words that give us strength to carry on all through this book, and words we can share to help other people too. Hey, help other people to hang in there. And think of how many verses we wouldn't have if people like, well, I don't know, if people like David just went through life on a bed of roses, and if he didn't go through very difficult times, think of how many verses we wouldn't have. And rather than just give up, as many people are tempted to do, David still put his trust in God. And he wrote to bring hope and comfort to other people. And he had no idea. He had no idea that people in some faraway land like Canada, in a faraway time like the 21st century AD, would still be reading his words. Mr. MacDonald says that the pressures of circumstances rings from David's heart. Now, that's not like a ring. That's like, you know, you take with a tea towel, like it just rings from his heart a prayer that has seldom been surpassed for sheer poignancy and articulateness. Yeah. He was kind of a poetic guy, Mr. MacDonald. But sometimes these hardships are what bring us to God. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. You've been my rock. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. You've been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. David goes to God first of all. First of all, that's where he goes. This whole psalm is a prayer. And in this and in countless other places, well, David's words have become the timeless language of millions upon millions of God's people as they have passed through persecution, heartache, suffering. It's all part of this life, isn't it? Because these words say what we all feel, but maybe just couldn't express so nearly as well. So pray some of these words back to God. Lord, you've been my refuge. Hey, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Someday, every follower of Jesus, every person who's ever walked what is sometimes a rough, narrow, uphill kind of road in this life, nobody gets away scot-free. I asked myself several times, how does anybody in this world get by without this faith that we have? How do people manage without having the hope of Christ in their life? I'm not sure what I'd do not knowing God was there. And not only not knowing that he was there, but being convinced that he actually loves me. Actually, more than that, God actually likes me. Not everybody does, but God likes me, right? How would I get through this life without believing that? And you know, someday we're all going to dwell in his tent forever. But here, in the here and now, the nitty-gritty, these words help us to keep taking refuge in the shelter of his wings. Now, that's not literal. God's not some giant bird. But it's the idea of a hen, a mother hen, gathering her chicks. That's what God wants to do for you and me. You, O Lord, as it says in verse 5, you've heard my vows. You've given me. He's given us, his children, through faith in Jesus. We have a future and a hope. Ooh. The heritage of those who have revered his name all down through those centuries, whether it was popular to be a Christian or not. Again, do you really think it's better to try doing life without Christ? Without your faith in him? When my heart grows faint, may I keep being led to the rock that is higher than I. And may I do that first of all. Now, these thoughts started rolling around in my head. They all started with something that a friend of mine posted on social media recently. And well, I shared that beautiful poster she put together in my Tuesday email. Now, I'll just put it up here just to remind you of it. You're not going to be able to read any of that, but do you remember getting that? If you're not on my Tuesday email list and you'd like to be, just let me know. Now, I don't expect you to read that, but you know what? There is a prayer down there at the bottom. And you know what? We're going to pray that prayer together before we're done here this morning. I'll have it printed out in much larger print for you. Everybody, come up right to the front and we'll pray this prayer. No, I won't do that. But it was all based on Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. And that's just the next book over from this book of Psalms. But we get the same picture that David gave us in Psalm 61, Proverbs 18, 10. See how the Bible fits together? He says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. Now, some of you know the translations that will say, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. There are songs written about that. And let me just turn that description into a verb. Here's an action for us all, right? You righteous, run. Run to it. Run to him. My friend Kathy Kipfer, and I mentioned her briefly in my email. She used to do some voice work for us at Faith FM there, Fitz. And she's now a Christian life coach. Recently wrote a workbook called Rooted in Purpose. And she gave me permission to share everything that I'm about to share with you from here on in, because she added to that verse from Proverbs some thoughts for those of us who are Christians, those of us who are followers of Jesus. And if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you just come see me afterwards. We'll start you on that road. But this is a reminder, first of all, that Jesus is our strong tower. As she writes, life has a way of changing without warning. Is that news to anybody? A difficult season can leave us feeling overwhelmed and searching for something solid to hold on to. That's why Proverbs 18:10 gives us that beautiful promise. The name of the Lord is our strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And we know Jesus as our rock, don't we? A strong tower in biblical times. Now, even throughout history, it was a place of protection. Now, some of you ever been on that walk for refuge that we take sometimes? Some of you ever been a part of the Generations Waywalkers? Well, if I was Michael Jackson. Some of you ever been part of that Generations Waywalkers group? And you know what? I just remembered. The last time we were walking as our Generation Waywalkers, that's the day we got the phone call from Jeremy DiCarlo that said, we got a baby. Woohoo, yeah. And we do that fundraiser for Compass Refugee Center. We walk along the Walter Bean Trail. And I was thinking as I was looking at this, you know, halfway through the trip, we have a little rest stop. And the rest stop is at the Pioneer Tower. It's out there on the banks of the Grand River. I got a little picture of it. Yeah, there it is. You ever been out there? Do you know what I was surprised to know? This was not built by those early Mennonite settlers. This tower was built in 1926, and it was to commemorate the arrival of the Pennsylvania German pioneers to the Waterloo region between the years 1800 and 1803. And towers, first of all, they acted as a lookout. Okay, the watchman up in that tower would sound the alarm if danger approached. Maybe it was a warring group of people that were coming to attack you. And the people that were being warned were there like you and me. They're not like, okay, I'm gonna find my pitchfork here and I'll try and defend myself. No, they're just regular people. They're not gonna fight every battle on their own. You and I aren't gonna fight every battle on our own. We got somebody to fight with. No, they ran to the tower and they found security and refuge. And of course, those towers, they'd be attached to fortified walls of a city, right? A place of refuge. And David in Psalm 61 likens God to such a refuge, safety. You've been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. Now, Proverbs 18:10, right? Most likely written by David's son, like father, like son. Yeah, King Solomon, he wrote most of those Proverbs. He discovered the same thing his dad did. And he adds that the name of the Lord is a strong, fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And my friend Kathy said that Jesus invites us to do the same thing. She writes this, when fear whispers. You ever had fear whisper to you, especially in the middle of the night? When fear whispers, run to him. When anxiety fills your mind, run to him. When grief weighs heavy on your heart, run to him. And hey, maybe life's going really well for you right now. Well, Kathy also said, when life is going well, run to him. Yeah, run to him with thanksgiving and praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, it says in Psalm 100. As she said, Jesus is not just somebody that we call on in emergencies. Right? How many people treat God as like somebody in their back pocket? Right? I do okay, but when I need a little help, I call on the man upstairs. What is that? No, run to him. He is our constant refuge in every season of life. His love never changes, his promises never fail, and his presence remains steady when everything else seems uncertain. He is strength for us when we are at our weakest. Remember what he told Paul? This is from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Remember what he said to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Are you feeling weak? Well, rejoice, because you qualify. You qualify. You qualify to receive God's sustaining power. When we don't feel like we're weak, even God can't reach us. Yeah, he does. He gives us free will, doesn't he? Are you broken? Jesus is our peace. He promised this in John 14:27. You know these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Don't give it to you as the world gives. No, but do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That whole statement has the integrity of God behind it. Christ is the hope for every weary heart. Matthew 11:28, that invitation, he said, come to me. Come to me, it said Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. He is light in the darkness. I was thinking of John 8, verse 12, where he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he's bread for the hungry. As he said in John 6 and verse 35, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Whatever you are facing today, remember that you do not have to face it alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You ever thought about that? That Holy Spirit hovering over the waters at creation. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, he's right in here. The Spirit is right in here. He is our unshakable refuge, our defender, provider, comfort, and peace. Oh, yes, the world offers all kinds of temporary relief. Oh, and don't beat yourself up. I mean, if, I don't know, you're feeling down in the dumps and you decide you want to eat a half a tub of ice cream, I get it. You know, there are things that aren't, how do I judge you? But only Christ satisfies the deepest needs of the human heart. Now, we all know this, right? Anybody could preach this sermon. But how often do we need, all of us, these kinds of reminders, eh? So today, you may be carrying burdens nobody else can see. Maybe you're facing questions and you don't have any answers. And maybe some circumstances are beyond your control today. Well, instead of carrying them alone, run. Oh, don't run away. That's our first response. No, do not run away. Run to the one whose arms are always open wide for you. There's no safer place to be than in the presence of God. He is our strong, fortified, mighty tower, our shelter in the storm, and the peace that steadies our hearts. Now, I was so blessed by what my friend Kathy Kipfer shared to me, and I hope, you know, okay, if it's still sitting in your inbox, you know, maybe have a look over again at that picture that she sent, and I included that in my Tuesday email. And before we bring Sean back up to lead us in a final song, let us stand, if you are able, and if you're wishing to remain seated, and you're standing up, just look behind you and make sure you're not blocking anybody's view. But let us say this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our strong tower and our safe refuge. When we are weak, be our strength. When our hearts are broken, fill us with your peace. When we grow weary, renew our hope. Shine your light into every dark place of our lives and satisfy our souls with the bread of life. Teach us to run to you first instead of relying on our own understanding. Help us to trust that no matter what we face, you are with us, defending us, comforting us, and leading us. May our lives reflect your goodness, and may others see the hope, peace, and love of Jesus through us. Keep our hearts rooted in you, knowing that you alone are our unshakable refuge. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.